So we are looking forward to just sharing God's word just real quickly this morning about the birth of the church. And I want you guys to get this in your mind, right? The birth of the church for who? For all nations and all people. Not just some, not just the ones who we think are good, but all nations and all people. So let's just pray and ask God to bless his word. Father God, speak to our hearts as we dive into your word, Lord, for the next couple minutes. I pray, dear God, that you would just work as only you can in us. Lord, we want to just praise you, Lord, that we are your church. Father, your church by your design in your power. And I ask, Lord, that you would just work in us, Lord, in as a way and only that you can. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're jumping in fast. We want to move right on down to our eternal truth this morning. And I want you guys to kind of get this in your mind, right? We're talking about all people and all nations, and I want us to understand that forgiveness of sin, that burden, that weight that comes from being in rebellion with God across the entire world, and the presence of God's Holy Spirit, that powerful presence, are promises to all people when they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And by the way, say that with me, what people?
All people,
right? And I want to throw this out. They are the church. They are God's beloved and called out people from every nation. And we want to slide on right down. And the first thing I want you guys to get in your minds really quick today, I'm going to preach fast, so listen fast. And Pastor Anthony might even be quicker because he's younger than I am. The preparation, right? The day we're looking at is this day of Pentecost, this coming of the Holy Spirit, this birth of the church. And there are some promises that are made, and there's a prayer meeting that follows, and we want to dive right into the text this morning as we look at this. And I want you guys to kind of get a hold of these things really quick. And by the way, notice the first word that's in yellow. What's that word? Together. It says, and being assembled together, right? All people from all over the place were at Jerusalem, and it says, and they were assembled together with them, and he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And you guys, the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit of God. Without him, there's no power. He's the game changer. And we use that word too much. He's the game changer. God said, wait for him, because when the church is born, it's going to be born in power. And I want to throw this out. A lot of times we look at church today, it looks like the most powerless thing on earth. We are missing the work of the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God to the people of God in power. And that's what God is looking for. So we have this promise of the Father, and he says, you will be baptized. You know, we use that word. The word baptism means dip. You're going to be dipped. You're going to be brought into the body of Christ by his Holy Spirit. And look at that last part. It says, and you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Everybody look up. There's a point, there's a purpose for the power of God in our lives. And it's not to make us great. It's to take the message of the gospel to the world. It's to take the good news that there is salvation in Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness of sin. There is life, and it's only in Christ. And that's the point. It's very missional. We're going to move right on down. Notice these guys, they had a prayer meeting. They had to replace Judas. So the disciples got together, and they called this prayer meeting. And as they did that, they selected another person that would follow in Judas's step. His name is Matthias. And then they witnessed the ascension of Jesus Christ. And look what Jesus said to them. And by the way, this is a good word for us. Sometimes we as a church, we're doing a whole lot of gazing and not a whole lot of doing. And the Lord said to them, he said, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Right, church, think about that. Sometimes we're doing a lot of watching. He says this, he says, this same Jesus who was taken up into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go. Mm. And now it's time to get busy and do the mission in the power of the Spirit. And I'm going to pass that baton over to Pastor Ansi real quick, and he's going to talk about that power, that coming of that power very briefly.
And God's plan for being glorified among the nation was through the church. And we see that happens in the book of Acts chapter 2, as we skip to the next slide. That happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now it says that, Luke wrote, he says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, he said, they were all with one accord in one place. Now imagine we're sitting here, right? And we kind of experience that heavy wind blowing within this building. We cannot feel it, but we can hear it. I guess everyone will be wondering what is going on here. And that's exactly how the believers felt on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came in, it says, with a rushing wind. And God was about to exist his church. He was about to create his church. Remember, he told the Lord Jesus told Peter in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He said, upon this rock would I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that was the time God was about to create the church from these believers. And something interesting happened. And said they were filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues. Now, if everyone got up here, if I could speak my native language, unfortunately, I can't speak it. But if I got it and I speak in mine and another person get it and start speaking, everybody will be crazy. What is going on in the church? But as a matter of fact, as they spoke the different languages, everyone could understand exactly what was being said. Isn't that how powerful God is? Can you imagine this happening among the believers? And not only that, it kind of looks strange for us. It's kind of impossible. But that's how God empowers the church through the Holy Spirit. And they were in one accord. And listen to this. This is the divisive factor of Satan. Satan do not want to see the church being united in one accord.
Amen.
Because he knows exactly when the church is in one accord, the power of God moves mightily. Amen. Great things happen in the church of God when the church is united in one accord.
Amen.
And that's why we saw in the scripture happening on the day of Pentecost. They were amazed and they were surprised. What is going on? Because guess what? It wasn't only the disciples, but as the scripture said, they were from all nations. They came from all parts. And they gathered together as we go to our next slide. They were from Persia, Medes, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, all these cities around. These folks came. And they weren't the ones speaking in tongues, but it was the disciples. Because what? They were in one accord. If we go back into the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 16, when Solomon built a temple, the Bible says there were 120 priests. And these 120 priests, they were in one accord. They were in oneness. And because of that, the cloud of God filled the temple. And the temple began out of a worship for God among his people. It tells us that we as a church, it doesn't matter whether you're from Liberia. It doesn't matter whether you're from Ghana. It doesn't matter if you're from Puerto Rico. It doesn't matter from wherever you are, Jamaica. But the fact of the matter is, Christ died for every one of us.
Amen.
And that's an amazing thing. And you see, all of these things happening was the work of God. And as the scripture said, there were some who were skeptical. You know, today in churches, people are skeptical or saying, can we do this? No, it's not possible. No, we can't do this. No. They were skeptical because they didn't believe that what was happening, these men speaking. And some starts to ridicule and say they were drunk as we go to our next slide. And Peter tried to address this issue that these believers were drunk and speaking in tongues and were confusing. So there were others who were mocking at them. And Peter came out, as we go to the next slide quickly, Peter, he says, and I want to read that very quickly. We're on time, running against time quickly. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, quickly, verse 15, he said, "For these are not drunk as you suppose." And Peter said, "Since it is only the third hour of the day." Now, if we convert that to our time, it's about 9 o'clock in the morning. Come on. Who's going to come to church 9 o'clock in the morning drunk? And So Peter said, "No, it's just morning hour. This is the time of worship. This is the time of celebration. This is the time of making sacrifice unto God. These men are not drunk. They are being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God. And God was forming his church. God was doing great. And they were amazed." And the Bible says, they turned to Peter and said, "Men, what shall we do?" And so Peter explained in terms of Joel's prediction in the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 28. When God said, when the prophet Joel said, "On the last day, it shall come to pass on the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Amen. Young men, young woman, God did not distinguish gender. He did not distinguish class. He said on all flesh, he's going to pour out his spirit. And at this point, Peter comes to amplify the point that all categories of people, once we are in one accord, God will do greater things. And fast track, as Peter explained, the Savior. Now, I kind of look at it as Jesus' resume. Peter was trying to give these folks. He said, "Listen," Peter declared, he said, in verse 22, he said, "This is Jesus, the sovereign Messiah. And how Christ, miracles, wonder, and son, attest to deity." Not only that, this was not a mistake. This is planned. And this is Jesus Christ, the raising Messiah. God raised him from the dead after you crucify him. And he put an end to the agony of death. And he's in heaven. And they were astonished. Peter demonstrated Jesus, the promise, when he connected him, Jesus, to David. And they kind of drew and said, "Oh, okay. If Jesus is connected to David, then he's part of us, I guess." Because they thought there was something strange that was happening. But at the end, they turned to Peter and said, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Now, as I close, listen to this, church. We need to remember that our purpose as a church, as the Lord's church, is not to focus on ourselves. It's not to focus on our happiness. It's not to focus on our comfort zone. Because God brought these people from different areas, and they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit so that God will be glorified through all the nations. And this is no mistake that God brought each and every one of you here from 36 different countries and different continents to come to First Baptist Church and Good News Baptist Church. It is to glorify God and spread the word to every corner of the earth. And if we fail to do that, to spread that, guess what? We lose focus of what God has called us to do. And our witness and our time will be in vain. I turn the time over to Pastor Gary.
Amen. 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 So focus your attention real quick on verse 38. It just says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." By the way, whose name? Jesus Christ alone, right? "For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you, your children, and all who are afar off." And I want you guys to get a load of this in your mind. This idea about being afar off, the Jews were close. They had the law. They had the prophets. All the rest of us are way far off, but have been drawn in by the Holy Spirit to the saving knowledge and the power of Jesus Christ. And he says this to them. He says, "You got to do this." They're cut to their heart. "What should we do?" And he says, "Repent. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." And I want to take us to the very last point today, the application. What do we do as a church? By the way, what a great celebration today. Praise God for great worship. I'm looking forward to great food, great fellowship. But what do we do as a result of this, right? And here's the thing. Maybe there's someone here, or maybe there's someone even outside. And by the way, we read this in Nehemiah last week. You remember we read the last chapter of Nehemiah? When the people of God praise God, everybody heard it. You know my prayer is, I hope people are driving down Sunset Road saying, what in the world is going on there? What in the world is going on there? What's going on there is God is changing lives right there. Right? So my challenge is, what do? The first thing we do is we become the church. We repent. We believe. You know, repentance has that idea of turning around. We're going this way. We decide. We understand that way doesn't work. We're going to Jesus the only way it does work. We become the church. And I want to throw out to us the second thing we do when we look at the text is we need to be the church. We're not here just to do church, hold church, you know, open the door so we can say we're here. We're here to be the church. And I want to share with you, look at the scriptures as we dig into that. The scripture says, you know, number one, become the church, right? And look what happened. It says, then those who gladly received his word, they gladly received the truth and they were baptized. And it says about 3,000 souls were added to them. I don't think we have enough hot dogs and hamburgers, but I hope God draws them in from Sunset Road. You know, I hope more people believe because they see us. They see us being the church of Christ. And notice, by the way, this is what it looks like to be the church of Christ. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They were growing. They were learning. They were thirsty. They wanted to know Jesus better. And he continues and he said, breaking of bread and in prayer. And it says, and fear came upon every soul. The fear of God sat on us as a congregation that we would be holy and we would want to be pleasing to God with our lives. And he said, and they had all things in common. Could you imagine us as a church? Someone has a need. We just take out the wallet. We figure out how to do it. We got a car. We give it. We do those things. That's what the Lord is looking for us to be, people that are different, not people that are demanding their rights, but people that are putting their rights down and being the church of Christ and looking like Jesus, sacrificing. And again, notice that last, look at verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. And by the way, that word simplicity could be translated singleness of heart. And that singleness was one thing, Jesus Christ. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. That's what God wants us to do, right? Let's become the church. If we're not, we don't know Jesus, let's believe in him today. If we are in the church, we're part of the body, let's be the church. Let's be the church. By the way, everybody look up. Not a powerless church, but a powerful church that is driven, motivated, empowered, and led by the Spirit of God. And that's the Holy Spirit dialing in right now saying, yes, amen, right? That's what God wants us to do. So we are going to take this time right now, and we're going to ask our deacons to come back, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. You know, the God, as the Church of Jesus Christ, he brought us all together, and he said, you know what? On a regular basis, we as Baptists tend to celebrate it every month, usually the first week or the second week of the month. But we're going to commemorate today who we are in Jesus Christ. We're going to remember his shed blood. We're going to reflect on his broken body. And we're going to recommit ourselves to being the church. So if you did not get your elements today, please raise your hand. We're going to make sure we get one of those into your hands. Let me get mine. Yeah. you can just come. One of you guys come on up. Sorry. Yeah, we'll switch. Good news for the Baptist, good news for the Baptist. Right. No, you guys come on up. Go there. We're going to mix it up. Mix it up, man. Not much, anyway. Just keep your hand up if you didn't get the elements today. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you want to partake with us, come on, just raise your hand. We want you to be part of that today. To be part. We got a couple right here, Gordon, too. Right to your right there, Gordon. There they are. All right. Couple more in the back, couple more in the middle there. Communion looks a little different with COVID, right? But it's okay, right? It's all right. It's a little hard to break bread unless you have really small fingers. But we're going to break bread. We might be breaking bread. Hey, John, we need one more.
You need one more?
Okay. We should have baked bread last night. Woo, look at that. One left. There you go, bro. Couple in the back there. Here we go. This is almost like old school when we had the ushers pass it out to everybody, right? Amen. All right. Today, folks, we want to commemorate the way the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul gave us. It's called the Lord's Supper. And it's all surrounding the broken body of Jesus Christ, represented by the bread, and the grape juice, which represents his shed blood. And I'm going to ask my brother Moses Carnback if he would take this opportunity now just to thank God for the broken body of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a great time to be together as brothers and sisters in the house of God. At this time, let us go to God in prayer for the bread. Our great Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you can bring all your children from all walks of life together. Lord Jesus, you told us that you are the bread of life. And as we come here today to partake of this bread, O Heavenly Father, give life more abundantly to everyone that is here. To the weak, you give strength. To the sick, you heal. To the brokenhearted, you give peace. And that this bread will strengthen us and keep us. And Heavenly Father, as we look forward, dear Jesus, for your return, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So I want to ask you guys to take out that bread from one side of your cup there. Just look at that. That represents the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember I just mentioned about sacrifice? Jesus gave everything. He allowed his body to be beaten and torn and to die that we might have salvation. And God wants us to remember the price. Remember the cost. It's high. But the salvation is awesome. Let's partake together, shall we? I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Ansu as him and Al deal with the cup.
Praise the Lord. And he says, in the scripture, Christ says, do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. His blood shed on the cross that brings life gave us hope. Had it not been for the blood, where we would have been today. But we thank God for his blood. So I think I'm going to pray for the element of the blood, the wine, as we drink.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift that keeps on giving. Dear Heavenly Father, you gave of your Son. He came to this world giving up all of his riches, all of his glory, and was here on earth walking with us. But dear Heavenly Father, they decided to kill our Savior. They hung him on a cross. They stuck a sword in his side, spewing out the blood that he had in his body. His blood is more important and more powerful than any blood that we have. Dear Heavenly Father, we just now just say thank you for this. And we're glad we can remember it. And dear Heavenly Father, we just say that we ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.
And he said, the cup represents the New Testament covenant of his blood on Calvary. So as we take part of it, remember him sharing his blood for us. Let us drink together. Amen.
And all God's people say what?
Amen.
Amen. We are one in Christ.